Good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you here this morning. It's a pleasure to stand before you. It's good to be together and just sing praises, isn't it? And that's what we've done this morning. We've also remembered the Lord's death until He comes again, and we've prayed to the Lord. It's so good to be able to do all these things that the Lord requires of us, but we don't do it just because He requires of us to do these things. We do it because we want to, don't we? We serve the Lord because that's our desire, is to serve the Lord. And I appreciate you helping me worship God this morning, and that's exactly what you have done. Good to see all of you here today. Good to have every one of you here. I want to look with you a little bit this morning of the life of the Apostle Paul. We'll do that a little bit more next Sunday too, the Lord willing. But the life of the Apostle Paul and what the Apostle Paul taught, what he had to say about himself. Let's look about what Paul said about himself. You know, he said on one occasion we ought to be imitators of him. Well, to be an imitator of him, you've got to have know something about him. He said that in the book of 1 Corinthians, be followers in chapter 10, be followers or imitators of me as I also am of Christ in chapter 11 also. But to do that, we have to know something about Christ. So let's look at what he says in the first book of Thessalonians, as he writes to them, and beginning with chapter 2. Let's look at what he says in this particular passage. He talks about the fact that he even suffered before and he was spitefully treated at Philippi in verse 2. He talks about that. But in spite of all that, he says, we're bold in our God. Despite the fact that people tried to keep him from preaching what he ought to preach, living like he ought to live, despite the fact that they said all things against him, and despite the fact that some of the Jews bound themselves under curse that they would neither eat nor drink till they took his life. In spite of all of that, he continued to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the one, you know, who told Timothy, a little bit later, to preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season. And he said, the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, will turn away there is the truth and turn aside unto fables. Well, even if they do that, Timothy, I want you to preach the word. I want you to preach it when it's popular, when it's not popular, when it's in season and they want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it, when it's out of season. Well, that's the kind of person he was. In spite of the fact that they did everything in the world to keep the Apostle Paul from preaching the gospel, that's what he did. They even left him for dead on one occasion, but he arose and went back into the same city where he was and preached boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about here. We were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel. So what he says here, we were bold not to just speak anything. We were bold in our God. In other words, we were speaking the thing that God wanted us to speak. This is the same apostle who tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, we have the mind of Christ. So what he's speaking is the mind of God or the mind of Christ. And we're bold to speak those things. That's why he said to the Romans in Romans, the first chapter, as much as in me is, I want to preach the gospel in verse 15. That's why he said that. And that's why he said, I've not been disobedient to what you asked me to do, Lord. I did that. I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. And what did the Lord tell him to do? I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to preach to the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I want you to preach those things. And that's what he did. So he said, I was bold in our God to speak to you the gospel, but I did it in much conflict. Now, he's not talking about the fact that he was conflicted inside of whether or not it was true or untrue. He's talking about in the conflict that came upon him when he preached the gospel, when they tried to run him out of the cities, when they tried to put him to death, when they bound themselves under curses, we said earlier, when they sent him to Rome so that he might be put to death. He continued to preach the gospel. In fact, the Apostle Paul's attitude was such that he said, even though I was in these chains, the whole Praetorian Guard heard what he had to say. So even while he was in chains, even while he was put into a house and was guarded by these guards in the house and couldn't leave the house, he still talked about Jesus Christ. That's what he meant when he said, I've not been disobedient to what you told me to do. You told me to bear my name before the Gentile kings, children of Israel, and that's exactly what I've done. So we look at the Apostle Paul when he says we ought to be followers of him. This is how we would follow him. we ought to be bold also to preach the gospel or talk about the good news, and that's what the word gospel means. It means good. We ought to be bold to speak about the good news of Jesus Christ, even when others might be trying to keep us from doing it, or when others might ridicule us about that. And we see other things out there, they're not so interested in the gospel maybe, but they're interested in social things and all of that nature. But we're still going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even though the nation might not be in favor of that, we do that. And even though it's in much conflict, we do that. Because that's what Paul said. Look at verse 3 of chapter 2. He says, "For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we have been approved by God." So what he's speaking are the things of God. We didn't speak things that would cause you to be would bring deceit or deceive you. We didn't speak those things. We didn't speak about error. We didn't bring our words into it that would have been error and contrary to what God wanted. We didn't speak things that were uncleanness. We didn't do anything in deceit. We weren't trying to deceive you. Talk about what a wonderful person we were and how smart we were. We weren't trying to deceive you and preach some foreign gospel to you, like some might try to do. But he said, what we did, we were approved of God. So everything that Paul preached came from God. That's what he's talking about. I mentioned this a second ago. We have the mind of Christ, he talks about. When I was with you in weakness and trembling, and much trembling. He said, my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. So what he preached came from God, the power of God. And the gospel is God's power to save, he says in Romans 1 and verse 16. So that's what he preached. So as we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, we see what kind of person he was. That's why he said, the things you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. He told the Philippians to do that. Well, what did you do, Paul? Well, I preached the gospel. I preached what was approved by God. It was entrusted to me. The gospel was entrusted to me. Go preach the gospel. That's why I preach it. And he says about himself, as much as in me is, that's what I wanted to do. And I will most gladly spend and be spent to do that, he tells the Corinthians, to save your souls or speak to your souls. He says that. That's what I did. And I didn't do it to please men. If Paul had just been pleasing men when he received the letters from the high priest to cast all who are over the way into prison, both men and women, when he did that, he would have continued to do that even though Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus and said, Saul, Saul, why are you crucifying me? He would have continued to crucify Christ and those who were recipients of the gospel of Jesus Christ if all he was trying to do was pleasing men. He says to the Galatians, I was not pleasing men. What I received didn't come from men, but it came to me through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what he was talking about, he said, I wasn't trying to please men. I wasn't taught it by men, but it came to me through the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a servant of Christ, he says in Galatians 1. And he wanted to be a servant of Christ. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to be faithful to the Lord. So that's what he did, and that's the example we have. That's what he's talking to the Thessalonians about. I wasn't pleasing men, but I was pleasing God. Someone might ask a person who's being faithful, Lord, why are you being faithful? You know, men might want you to do something else. They might pull you to do something else. And you could be pleasing unto them if you do what they ask you to do, but you do what God wants you to do, and the reason you do that is because you're not as interested in pleasing men if they're doing something contrary to what God would have them do, as you are in pleasing God. Yes, we need to try to get along with people. Of course we do. But only when they're doing what is right. We may not be able to get along with everybody because they may not be doing what is right. That's why John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, but he that does the will of God will abide forever. That's 1 John 2, beginning with verse 15. So what John says is, don't love the world so much that you follow the world. What we want to do is follow Christ. And if we're going to follow Paul, we're following somebody who followed Christ. Be followers of me as I also am of Christ. he said. So what did he do? He said, well, I'll tell you what I did. I followed the gospel. I was entrusted with the gospel. The Lord gave me the gospel. I want you to preach the gospel to the Jews, the kings, and the children of Israel. That's what I want you to do. I was entrusted to do that. And I mentioned a while ago that he said later on, I've not been disobedient to that. I did exactly what I was told to do. No wonder he said, I fought the good fight, I finished the course, I kept the faith. When he was speaking to the Philippians, I did exactly what I was told to do. So he said, even so we speak. We speak what? The gospel. Well, those of us who are Christians, we ought to do the same thing. We talk to somebody about religious matters. It ought to be that we talk about those things that have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The purpose of the gospel. What the gospel is all about. We tell people why we serve the Lord. Why do we go to church? As the expression is, go to church, unquote, quote unquote. Why do we do that? Because we want to serve the Lord. And I understand what we mean when we say go to church. We're not talking about the building. We're talking about to go worship is what we're talking about. Why do we go worship? Why do we do that? Why do we take time out on Sunday morning to worship God? Why do we get up at the time we do when that's a day that everybody doesn't have to work most of the time? Some of you do, though, don't you? But a lot of people don't have to. Sunday's their day off. And most people in the area where I live, they take the day off from religion, too. That's my day to do whatever I want to do. I may mow the grass, or I may go fishing, or I may go play golf, or I might just sleep in. Might just do all those things, because that's my day. I have to work Monday, but I don't have to work Sunday. And they don't even think about worshiping God. Or if they do, these things get in their way of worshiping God. But not the Apostle Paul, because he said, I'm not trying to please men. I'm trying to please God. I don't just do what would be pleasing unto me. And it might be pleasing to stay in bed on Sunday morning. But I'm not going to do that because this is the Lord's day. This is the day that I've set aside to worship the Lord. This day belongs to Him. I'm going to spend my time in worship of God. That's the thinking the Apostle Paul had. That's why he said, as much as in me is, this is what I want to do. And that's why he was approved of God. I don't please men, but I please God because he says, look again, verse 4, God tests our hearts. God knows what's in our hearts. He knows whether or not we're serving him the right way or just going through the motion. He knows whether or not mama gets us up early and makes us go to church or whether we really want to go to church, as we use the expression. He knows all that. He knows whether we're really wanting to serve Him or we're just forced to do it. And as soon as I get old enough to get away from home, I'm not going to do it anymore. Or if I go to college now, I'm away from mom and dad and I don't have to do it anymore. And there are a lot of young people do that when they go to college. They just decide, well, I don't have to do that anymore. So they do whatever they want to do. But not a godly Christian. He realizes that he's going to serve the Lord whether he's going college and whether he's away from mom and dad or not. He's going to serve the Lord because that's my life. Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ. That's what he said about himself. That's why he's talking to the Thessalonians the way he does. For me to live is Christ. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve the Lord. I realize that someday he's testing me. Someday I'm going to give an account of the Lord for what the things I've done in the body, whether they be good or bad. Someday I'm going to stand before the Lord in judgment. And he's going to judge me. You know, the wonderful thing about that, folks, is we might be a little bit afraid, might shake a little bit thinking about when Jesus comes again with his angels and flaming fire and he gathers all the people before him, we might be shaking a little bit, but we shouldn't be. If we've been faithful to the Lord, we ought to look forward to the time that he comes again. To you who are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus, what Paul said. So that's what we ought to do. We ought to be thankful that the Lord's going to come again, and we ought not to be shaking in our boots and our legs doing like this when the Lord comes. We ought to be glad that He's going to come because what we've done is we've been faithful to the Lord. We know that we know Him, as John said, because we've kept His commandments. We know that. We know we're going to go to heaven. We know we've done everything the Lord tells us to do. We know it's going to be automatic that He's going to reach His hand out to us and say, come. Ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Yes, He tests our hearts to see whether or not we've done what we said we're going to do. I've never preached anywhere, folks, when the people sitting out the audience wouldn't say that they love Christ. I've never had anybody tell me, in a church building, they don't love Christ. But I've known some that don't practice that. By their actions, you'd think they don't. Because if we love Christ, we love Him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with everything we've got. That's what the Bible says both in the Old Testament and the Testament. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of this. Well, Paul did that. He loved the Lord thy God. And he didn't, when he was with people, he didn't use speech that would cause them to say, oh, Paul, you're just an outstanding gospel preacher. We just love you to death. You use all these big adjectives and all that kind of thing. And you just sound like you're so educated. And you just flatter us all the time. You brag on us all the time. Look at what he says in verse 5. Neither at any time did we use flattering words. We didn't do that. As you know, nor our cloak for covetous, God is witness. We didn't do that. He didn't try to flatter them and said, oh, well, I know everybody makes mistakes. You're okay. I'm okay, you're okay. That used to be a popular expression with some people. I'm okay, you're okay. He didn't say that. If he saw them doing something they ought not to do, he told them, you need to change. Repent, he told them to do. You need to repent. You need to change your life. You need to go back to the Lord. You need to come back to the Lord. He would tell them whatever they needed at that particular time. And he didn't use flattering words. His words were not always dripping with honey. And I don't mean by that he didn't tell people when they were doing right that they were doing right. In fact, in the first chapter of this, and we looked at that Wednesday night, in the first chapter of this, he said, we give thanks to God always for you. We do that. And the reason he did that is because of the fact they had an unceasing of work of faith, they had labor of love, and they had patience of hope. So he tells them when they're doing what's right, but when he tells them also when they're doing something's wrong. So he doesn't just use flattering speech. When I was a young preacher, I can remember people would tell me sometimes, say, oh, James, you're just going to be an outstanding gospel preacher. Boy, that made me feel good. I'm just really on the way. I've almost got it made. When I got older, they'd say, you know, James, you probably were really a good preacher at one time. I don't know when I passed that. I'd like to have known when that part came. But the fact of the matter is, flattering words don't mean anything. If I get any flattering at all, I want it to come from God, but he doesn't do that, does he? But the fact of the matter is, Paul says, we didn't use flattering words, as you know. You know what kind of a preacher I was before. You know how I stood before you. Be followers of Paul, the awesome of Christ. What's the example of Paul? He doesn't flatter people. He tells them the truth. That doesn't mean he's mean. I'm not talking about being mean about that. You don't have to be a flatterer when you tell people the truth, and you don't have to be mean when you tell people the truth. You just tell them the truth. You can do it in love. You can do it in the same kind of love that Jesus Christ had for mankind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God committed his own love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for it. That's the love that God had. He doesn't wish any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So he tells the truth through his disciples, through his apostles, and through his word. He does that. We didn't use flowering words. We didn't use a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. And that's the thing we need to remember. God is listening. He's listening to what we have to say. He's the witness to us. When we stand before the judgment bar of Jesus Christ, there's the witness. Christ is going to know exactly what we did. He's the witness. And he would say, well, Lord, I'll tell you what, I was faithful to you. I came to church most of the time, at least once a month. I know I had other things to do, but I want you to know I was thinking about you all the time. What do you think the Lord's going to say about that? Whether you really had him in your heart and all that. Well, we'll let the Lord do that. We'll let him be the judge of that. But he knows about everything that we do. God is a witness to us. He's the witness of whether or not we use flattering words or we use covetousness or we use deceit. He knows all that. He's a witness in regard to that. And look at verse 6. Nor did we seek the glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. I'm an apostle of Christ. Look at me. I'm an apostle of Christ, and I can demand this. You know I'm special because the Lord chose me on the road to Damascus. He chose me. And I deserve certain things. Paul didn't do that. Sometimes you see people, they go to college and all that kind of thing. I've seen preachers when they hold a meeting somewhere and they send their resumes to that church and they want everybody to know they had a PhD and had this and that and something else. I'm not going to impugn their motives. All I'm simply saying is it appears that they want everybody to know how smart they are. That's what it appears. There's nothing in their resume when they put it on the sheet and sending out to other churches that they're a faithful gospel preacher. It doesn't say that. It just simply says, well, I went to this school and that school and I got PhDs and I got all this kind of thing. And that's supposed to be the appeal to get people to listen to. But the appeal ought to be, he's a faithful gospel preacher. The appeal of the Apostle Paul was not that he studied under the feet of Gamaliel, which he did. He did, the greatest teacher, physical teacher that existed then. He did that. But he doesn't brag about that. When you read these epistles, he doesn't say, folks, you've got to listen to me because I studied under the feet of that great professor, Gamaliel. He doesn't say that. What he tells them is, you listen to me because I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody might say to you, why do I need to listen to you in religion? I'll tell you why, because I'm just speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't make it up, and I can show it to you right here. It's not because I got a big degree. You know, one of the things that happens when we go to college sometimes, young people, is that those professors sit there and talk to you as if they know everything. That's what they do. Well, they might know their subject because they read about it somewhere and studied it, but I guarantee you they don't know everything. And that professor, don't you get so swallowed up in the thinking of the professor and how brilliant that professor is because he's got all these degrees. All he's got degrees are in the field in which he is, and he may know something about his field, but he may be wrong about that and has to change from time to time. But I guarantee he puts his clothes on just like you. You need to remember that. And so do preachers. They put their pants on one leg at a time, generally. That's what they do. And you need to remember that. And they may know a lot about the Scriptures, but the only thing they know is what's found in the Scriptures, folks. And you may not be able to quote Scriptures like they can, but you've got a Bible and you can check it. That's why you can test the spirits whether they're of God. That's what John said, do. Test the spirits. Put them to the test. Is this what the Lord says? And don't you believe it when some preacher said, last night the angel of the Lord spoke to me and told me you need to do this. Because the angel of the Lord didn't speak to him at all. I can just tell you that. The angel of the Lord has already spoken to us through His Word. We have the complete Word of God. He doesn't have to speak to us something else. And the only reason a preacher would say that or a professor would say that is because he wants you to follow him. That's the only reason he'd say that. Now, I realize he might be duped into thinking that somebody talked to him that night. Could have been the devil or somebody else that was talking to him, but it certainly wasn't God. Because God speaks through His Word. We need to remember that. But we did not seek the glory from men, either from you or from others. We didn't seek the glory from you. That's why it was not flattering. We didn't say what we did so you can talk about how great a wonderful preacher I am, or speaker I am, Paul's talking about. We might have made demands of you because we're apostles. We might have done that, and some people do make demands because of who they are. That's what they do. I heard a preacher tell another preacher one time, who are you to question me? I'm the one. I went to this school and that school and some other school. And he was just like this. He thought he was above being questioned. But Paul said, no, no, no. I'm not above of that. But we were gentle among you, just as nursing mother cherishes her own children. We didn't try to get you to listen to what we have to say because of who we are and how important we are, but we were gentle among you, like a mother who cherishes her own children, a nursing mother who cherishes her own children, who holds that child close and comforts that child. And the reason we do that is because we affectionately long for you. Look at verse 8. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you had become dear to us. Who were the closest people that Paul had in his life? Who were the closest to him? Who were his best friends? Those who were faithful children of God. Those were the people dear to him. His best friends were those who were Christians, Timothy and Titus and others and disciples. They were the ones. And that's what caused him, as he says in verse 9, to labor among you, brethren, to labor and toil for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to you. We preach to you the gospel of God. Look how many times he mentions the gospel in this text. He reminds them, we preach to you the gospel of God. And we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. First of all, he talked about a nursing mother with children. This time he talks about it as a father. We exhorted you and comforted and charged every one of you as a father. He was as if he was their father in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he gives thanks for them. Because they received the word of the Lord. They did. That effectually worked with you in you who believe. So here is the Apostle Paul presented to us. When he talks about be followers of me. This is the kind of person he was. We'll talk about it a little bit more next Sunday, the Lord willing. But this is the kind of person that the Apostle Paul was. This is the kind of people that we ought to be as children of God. And someone said, well, he's kind of bragging about himself about what he did. No, he's not. He's just stating a fact. If you're going to tell people you need to follow me as I am of Christ, you're going to have to tell people what that means to follow me. And that's what he's doing here. He's not bragging about it. He's just simply saying, this is what I did. The things you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. So that's what he's talking about. That's what we can do. We can be followers of the Apostle Paul. That's what we can in the things that we do. And although we might not be an apostle, we can still talk about the gospel. We can talk about the things he talked about. We can let his life be an example unto our lives. That's what we can do. You know that example begins of the life of the Apostle Paul when he obeyed the gospel, doesn't it? When he was told to go to Damascus and there it would be signified unto him, all the things he needed to do, and the prophet came to him and said, arise and be baptized and wash away your sin. That's what he did. There's the example. When Paul heard the gospel and believed the gospel, what did he do? He obeyed it. That's what he did. That's the example. That's how you start following the Apostle Paul, because that's what he did. And we can do the same thing. The song we're about to sing says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Well, he called Paul, didn't he? He called Paul. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Well, that's what Jesus did with Paul. He told him, go to Damascus, and there I'll tell you what to do. And he sent a prophet to him, and the prophet did tell him what to do, and that's what he did. And that's the reason he's our example. He did what God told him. He was obedient to the Lord. We just read that in our text, didn't we? He uses the word obedient. He's obedient to the Lord. And you can be too by obeying the gospel. Putting everything else aside, I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to finish the course. I'm going to keep the faith because I know there's later for me a crown of righteousness. That's why you do it. Putting it in the simple terms, because we want to go to heaven when we die. And so we follow the Apostle Paul because he said, the reason I've done all the things I do, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, not for me only, but also for all them that have loved his appearing. Listen to that expression, who have loved his appearing. If you really claim you love the Lord, you'll do what the Lord tells you to do. The person who doesn't do that does not really love the Lord. He can say he does, but the proof of the pudding, so to speak, is the fact that he does what the Lord tells him to do. And so what does he tell us? Well, if we've never obeyed the gospel, he tells us to obey it. He told the apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what he says. That's what we have to do. And if we haven't done that, it follows we're not saved. Because this is the criterion we have to follow to be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then after we've done that, we have to be faithful till the day we die and we'll receive the crown of life. The contingency is, if we're faithful till we die, we receive the crown of life. But it begins by hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, obeying the gospel, being baptized for remission of our sins, to rise to walk in newness of life. And we do that when we hear the voice of Jesus say, come, come. And that's what he's saying this morning to all of us. And if we haven't done that, we need to do that because we want to be saved, don't we? Why would you be here otherwise if you don't want to be